Well, that's a fun video. We had some stars in that video for sure. Well, hey, good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you so much for joining us today at Kairos Church. We have a lot of fun things going on, and today we are continuing our series that we call You Mad, Bro. We've been in that for a couple of weeks, but today we're going to kind of change it just a little bit, and we're changing it to You Mad, Mom? And yeah, there we go. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to kind of take a deep dive into mom's anger issue. I'm just kidding. We're really not doing that. But there are quite a few things that make mom mad. And I knew that. And I wanted to see what really makes moms the most mad. So I had this brilliant idea. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on Facebook and just ask. I knew I was going to get some responses, but this thing blew up. I had to like shut it down because it started getting real nasty. And I couldn't distinguish between if they were talking about their kids or their husband. I was like, man, I don't know. I don't know what to do here. So here's some of the things that make mom, if you didn't know this, and if you're the guilty party, like you need to understand that this is what makes mom mad, okay? Slurping and loud chewing make mom mad, okay? Who slurps and loud chews in here? Come on. It was Dallas. So it is about the dads. All the dads. Raise their hands. This was another one. Saying what before I'm done speaking. Anybody have a kid do that? Like you act like, and you're not even done. They're like, what? Ugh. It's teenagers that do that. And they make that noise with their mouth. Ugh. Yeah, that's the worst. This was the biggest one. And this is repeating myself a million times, repeating myself 100 times, repeating myself multiple times, repeating myself over and over again. How many moms out there have ever had to repeat themselves? Yeah, yeah. And you're mostly talking to your boys because they don't listen. It makes me mad when I ask them to do anything and they basically ignore me, right? It makes me mad when they would rather eat anything else besides what's actually for dinner. Arguing with each other over insignificant, petty things. When they do a crappy job on chores, like why even give you chores when you're just gonna like barely do it? Not picking up after themselves, and they can't see what is literally in front of their face. And this was the best one, and I know who this was about. This one is not using a hamper. Their clothes are literally on the floor next to the hamper. And that was you, Dallas, for sure. But this is one of those things. Like, so you just got to understand, enter into the mind of a man. We're not going to walk over and put whatever it is in the hamper. We are going to try to shoot it in the hamper, okay? And most of the time we're missing. And we're not going to go over there and pick it up. That's your job. Oh, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. That's just a little joke. Pray it out and go home, right? Lord. All right, so that's just a little bit of fun. We're not actually doing anything on mom's anger, but fun to do that. I do want to, however, I want to share one of my favorite biblical stories of a mother's love. And there are so many in the Bible, but one of the ones that I always think about when I think about the amount of love, the amount of sacrifice that moms give, I go to this story every single time. And it's found in the Old Testament. It's found in 1 Samuel. And it's the story of Samuel's mother, the prophet Samuel's mother, Hannah. And I want to go ahead and just kind of read through that. I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but I want to share a little bit and I'll interject. So you can follow along on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're just going to dive right into verse 2. And it says this, he, Elkanah, and this is Samuel's dad, he had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. And so this was dynamic. Having children, being able to give your husband children was a big deal. And when you couldn't, you kind of felt purposeless. And in this case, there were two wives, and the one wife had children and the other didn't. And she was always just giving her a hard time about it and making fun of her and thinking that she was better than her. And so there was this dynamic that was there where she already couldn't have children and was feeling bad, and someone else was making her feel bad about it. And so it was this thing that was very heavy on her heart where she desired deeply to be a mother, but just couldn't yet. And what I want to really quickly just pause right now and say this to you. If you're here today, it's Mother's Day, and maybe for you, you've desired to be a mother. and maybe it hasn't happened, and you're not sure if it's going to happen, I just want to say that my heart goes out to you, and I sympathize for you. You know, me and my wife, we are foster parents. We only have one biological, and so we kind of understand, and so I just wanted to say that. We understand that this day may be difficult for you, but we are appreciative that you are here, and we love you, and we're praying for you. So Hannah didn't have children. Verse 3, it says, year after year, this man, Elkanah, went up from his town to worship and sacrifice the Lord. While they were there, Hannah would go and pray, and she's praying and just about having a child. And in verse 10, it says, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. So she says this prayer. She's desiring this thing. This is something that's been on her heart. Eli, the priest at the time, is watching her, and it's early in the morning, and I guess she was just weeping very loudly and praying and looking like a Eli thought she was drunk in the temple, okay? And was just like, lady, you got to stop drinking this early, okay? Go home. Go find your man. But she's like, no, that's not what's going on. I'm just desperately praying for God to give me a son. And so in verse 17, Eli answers, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant what you have asked of him. Verse 20, it says, so in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Verse 27, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She prays desperately to have a child. God gives her, blesses her with this child. And after weaning him for 96 months, I'm just kidding, that's kind of a joke, I don't know how long, you know what I'm saying? I think, because it goes on in the story, and she's like, yeah, after he was weaned, she took him to the temple, and she's like, yeah, he's here, he's 9 now, you can take him. it's kind of weird. So she dedicates him. Okay, God blessed me with this thing that I so desperately wanted. I said I would let him serve the Lord all the days of his life, and so what she gets and is blessed with, she then gives back to God. And there's this picture of sacrifice where you wanted this for so long, and you prayed desperately for this thing, but you love God and you love your child so much that you're willing to sacrifice everything for them. And this is this picture that we see here, but this is also a picture of what I see with every mother. They're willing to sacrifice anything for them, to go the distance for them, to give up everything for them. So this is the story. And she prays, and she receives, and she dedicates him back, and she continues to pray and worship the Lord that his will be done in Samuel's life. And so he goes and he lives with Eli, and he's there, and he's being raised in the Lord, and he's called by the Lord, and he goes on to become this amazing prophet. He anoints King David and does amazing things with his life, all because of a mother's sacrifice. And what's so important, and what I really want to focus in on, is the mother's crucial role in the spiritual guidance of her children. Mother's crucial role. And, you know, I'm reading this story, and it's quite a few chapters, and it's pretty long, and there's a lot of things that take place. But I'm reading this story, and I'm beginning to see some differences. So Eli is the priest, and he has two sons named Hophni and Phinehas, and they are also serving underneath him, and they're not good. But then you have Samuel, who is with Eli, and he's following this same man, but he is good. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12, it says this, that Eli's sons, they were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. And then in verse 18 of chapter 2, it says, but Samuel is there. He was ministering before the Lord. So I'm reading this story, and I'm like, okay, Eli's this man of God. Hannah dedicated her son Samuel to this man of God. He's got two other sons that are scoundrels and are have no regard for the Lord, are doing just these things that are just ridiculously, that just shouldn't be done. What's the difference? They're both there with Eli. They're both supposed to be serving the Lord. What's the difference? And as I read this, I began to realize that the one major difference that I found was that Samuel had a mother's love, a mother's guidance, a mother's prayer, and a mother's sacrifice. She was willing to pray for this child to receive him and then to dedicate him to the Lord and continue to pray for him and be there for him. And yeah, they were separated, but as you read on, she was always going to visit him and bringing all these things. So he had a mother's love in his life. As you read through the narrative about Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, we don't have any kind of proof that their mother was around during this time. And we don't know what happened. We don't have that information. Now, maybe she died during childbirth. Maybe she died when they were younger. Maybe she left. We don't have that information. But what we see from this whole narrative, from start to finish, is that the mother was not involved in their lives. And it's a crucial component. Now, they were both had godly role models in their lives, right? They had men who were leading them and guiding them spiritually. And we know that Samuel's dad was a godly father, because in verse 3 of chapter 1, it says, year after year, he went to worship and he sacrificed to the Lord. We know that Eli is a godly man, and he's serving in the temple. And this is Hophni and Phinehas, his father. And I believe that the father plays should be the spiritual leader of a home. But you need to understand what I'm trying to say to you is that the mother's role is an equal part. And this is what was missing for Hophni and Phinehas. They didn't have this. Samuel had a mother and a father who were leading and praying and being sacrificial for their son. Hophni and Phinehas only had their father. And I know there are circumstances where we can't have both. But this is just what I'm seeing in this narrative, where this mother's love, this mother's sacrifice was so key and so crucial to who Samuel would then become. And so as parents, we need to make sure that we are, as fathers and as mothers, playing our role in praying for our kids, in leading our kids spiritually, in being willing to sacrifice, do hard things for them that we don't like, that are hard for us and that they don't like. And I would say this, never stop praying and sacrificing for what you once prayed for and God gave to you. I think sometimes we are like, God, I need this thing so much. God, will you just give me this thing? If you give me this thing, everything will change. Everything will be better. I'll do this, that. And then we pray so desperately. And God gives it to us. And then we stop praying. And then things go bad and we're like, what happened? Well, God's like, I gave to you, but you forgot to continue to ask me to guide you and help you, and you forgot to dedicate what I gave to you to me. God gives to us, not for our benefit, but for his glory. We must never forget that. We must keep praying, keep sacrificing. Because once you get what you pray for, that's when the work begins, and you got to start tending to it, right? That's when the hard work begins. That's when the sacrifice begins. That's when the difficulty begins. And that's when we must lean into and press more into God and making sure that he is guiding us. What we pray for, we must be willing to sacrifice for. She desperately wanted a child. God granted her prayer. Blessed her with a child. And then what's she going to do? She dedicates him to the Lord. Continues to pray over him, continues to sacrifice for him, and continues to lead him. And when it comes to raising our kids to serve the Lord, there is no amount of sacrifice that is too great. We've got to do all that we can to make sure that we are pointing them in the direction of the Lord. We got to give that to them. And we give our kids all kinds of stuff, right? They get TVs, they get four-wheelers, they get iPhones, they get all these video games. We give them all kinds of stuff, and we also give our kids to all kinds of stuff. Sports, dance, academics, music lessons, all these things. And I'm not saying these things are bad. Don't hear me wrong there. But we give our kids things, and we give our kids all kinds of things. But at the end of the day, the most important thing we can give our kids to is the Lord, to instruct them, to train them, to discipline them, to rebuke them, to dedicate them to the Lord. And when we do that, when we're faithful in that, when we don't give up, when we don't lose hope, when we don't lose our faith, that's when God blesses what he already gave us, and he even blesses us with more. That's the other thing I love about Hannah's story. She didn't have any kids. God gave her a kid. She gave him right back to God. And then God goes on and blesses her some more. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 19, it says, each year his mother, and this is talking about Hannah, made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, may the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Then they would go home. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah, and she gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. See, when you're willing to take what God gave you and give it back to him, he will bless you with more. And I think sometimes we're so desperate, we pray so much about something that when we get it, we try to control it so much and we forget that it doesn't really belong to us, it still belongs to him. We got to remember that. We got to continue to raise them in this way. And we got to remember that prayer and sacrifice play this crucial role before and after. Prayer and sacrifice leads to the Lord blessing us. Prayer and sacrifice leads the Lord to blessing the path that he has for our children. And so that means what we got to do is we got to put our children in the Lord's hands, in the Lord's path, and trust without a doubt that he is leading them. As parents, you do what you can, and then you put the rest in God's hands. And sometimes that's tough, right? You do all that you can. You pray all that you can. You sacrifice all that you can. You do your very best to lead your kids, and then they just start going the wrong way, and you do what you can. And you put the rest in God's hands, and it's hard. Sometimes removing that control, not fully trusting God's plan or where he's leading, it's hard. You know, I couldn't help but have this resonate with me as a foster parent. It's very hard. We've had, you know, close to 30 children come through our home, and you know, everyone's different. And you know, as you're learning about the children and you're learning about their families and you're learning about things that are going on and you're wanting to love and protect this child as much as you can and do what's best for this child and keep them safe. You're working with, you know, the biological parents and you're working with relatives and you're working with case managers and you're working with licensing specialists and you're working with judges and all these people are coming together and trying to do their very best and there's reunification and there's different transitions and in all of it, there's so many unknowns. But what foster care for us is we're doing what we can, what God has called us to, and we put the rest in God's hand, believing that he has a plan, and he is working it out, and we just got to trust it. We may not always agree with it, right? We may look at it and say, this is absolutely wild, and this is hard, and this is difficult, but God, I am praying over this child and over this situation, and I am believing wholeheartedly that you are working and moving through it. And that's that love, that's that sacrifice that is required. And so as parents, as mothers, this is what we do. We love sacrificially. We trust God wholeheartedly. We raise our kids spiritually, and we hold fast to the blessings that we've been given, and we dedicate them to the Lord. But as we dedicate them to the Lord, we do so unconditionally. It's not if God, then I. No, 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 no. Say, God, what you've given to me, I am going to give back to you no matter what it might take, no matter how hard it may be, no matter how much it may pain us. God, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do, and I'm going to dedicate this child, and I know it's not going to be easy, because it's not. Sometimes making these decisions that are difficult for our kids, that are difficult for us, it's hard. And the other thing about all of this, about raising kids, especially for mothers, I know it affects dads too, but especially for mothers, is oftentimes in the loving and in the sacrificing and in the trusting and giving all of yourself to your children, oftentimes you may feel unseen, unnecessary, and unappreciated. Because you're there, you're giving it all. And at times, because the way your kids are acting, it just doesn't seem like anything is really taking root. It's hard. I mean, just you think about I was thinking about this as you go through the different stages of a child's life. especially for mothers. Like, think about when they were a newborn, when they're an infant or a toddler, maybe like all the way to maybe 3 years old. And like in that time, they need you, right? And they see you, and man, and you're never left alone, but it's good because you have purpose, because you are keeping this tiny human alive. Right? And they need you, and it makes you feel so good inside of that. I mean, they need you so much. And you know, there are times when you wish you had more sleep, but they still need you. And it's good. And then they grow up a little bit, and they're young kids now, 5, 6, 7, 8, all the way to 10. And it's changed a little bit. Now you're more demanded of, right? I need this, I need it now. Ah. That's what I hear. You feel unappreciated. You're still keeping them alive because they're doing even dumber stuff now than they were, right? Get that out of your mouth. Don't eat that. But you feel unappreciated. And you're never left alone, but you don't feel purpose in it. You kind of just feel used, right? You can't even go to the bathroom without them coming in on you. So you go from feeling purposeful to feeling used. And then you get into the best years ever, preteen, teen, and even young adults, because sometimes they just won't leave. And in that, when they get into that age range, here's what happens. You begin to feel unnecessary. They don't need you. At least they say they don't need you. You feel unseen. And you feel left alone. And you feel useless. But all the way up until this point, you've given your all to them. And you feel unappreciated. You give your all and yourself to your children for the first 18 years, and in some cases the first 30 years, because again, they just won't leave. And what's left? You sacrifice your well-being for the sake of your sons and your daughters, and then they leave. And then you're left feeling with, I've just given my all to them for the last 18 years of my life. Now what? Have I lost my purpose? Have I lost my identity? Because you were so willing, and this is what I see, you're so willing to give everything for them and love them with all that you have and all the sacrifice and all the investing and all the pouring into. Sometimes they leave and it almost feels fruitless. And you're wondering, especially with your boys, did they learn anything? Are they going to go off and be God-fearing, productive, accomplished, kind human beings? That's the hope. That's the prayer. And if it seems that they aren't, like you can see the writings on the wall, then you begin to question the last 18 years of your life and you say to yourself, what did I do wrong? And it's such a battle. And I'm not even there yet, but I just know. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to get there. I'm dreading that day. But I know this is things that you're thinking, things that are going through. And can I just, there's no magic formula to raising kids. There isn't. Because every kid is different. Every family is different. Every circumstance is different. But here's the truth in it all. Here's the one thing that we can hold on to. There's one constant. There's one thing that'll never change and never fail us, and that is God. And if we continue to pray for our children and continue to sacrifice and do all that we can to raise them up in Him and ask Him to protect them and guide them, we do what we can and we leave the rest in God's hands. And we just hope. And we lean on God in all of it. In the good times and the bad and those times where they're eagerly seeking the Lord and those times when they seem to be running away from Him. We continue to love. We continue to sacrifice. We continue to be there for them. And it's that loving sacrifice. That loving sacrifice will reap a reward when it's done for the Lord. And I need you to really hear that. I think sometimes we get so caught up in doing all these things for our kids that we forget that we're really doing it for the Lord. Because at the end of the day, while He has blessed you with your children, they ultimately belong to Him, right? And it is our job to guide them to Him and show them the love that He has for them. It's hard. And so let me just tell you this, moms. Even when it feels like no one hears you, when it feels like no one sees you, no one appreciates you, no one cares, no one loves you, God does. He sees you, he hears you, he appreciates you, he values you, he loves you and the sacrifices that you have made for your kids. You understand? You are seen. You are valuable. You are appreciated. You are loved and supported by your heavenly Father. Even when it seems like everyone else has abandoned you, he's still on your side. Don't forget that he is there for you. This is one of the things that I've realized through this story and just through seeing mothers and the sacrifice that they have. A mother's sacrificial love echoes our Heavenly Father's love for us. Because I see so many mothers giving their all, sacrificing all that they have to care for, to provide for, and to keep their kids safe. And ultimately, there's this goal that says, I want to do what I can to keep them safe and guide them and get them into a relationship with the Lord so that they'll be good here on earth and they'll be good when they leave this earth. And here's what I know. Why this is an echo of what God does, because this is what God did for us. He gave, just like Hannah did, his one and only son. And then what did his son do? His son came and gave and sacrificed his life for us so that we could be in relationship with the Father. And this is what I see from mothers all the time. And so can I just tell you, mothers, your love and your sacrifice, it is a thing to be marveled at. It is. And can I just say on behalf of sons and daughters, thank you for loving and for caring and for sacrificing so much for us. I want to pray with you right now, if you would bow your heads. God, right now, I lift the mothers up in this room, even the ones that are joining us online. I don't know what season they're in. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what they're experiencing. I don't know if they feel unseen or unheard or unnecessary or unappreciated. But God, today I pray that they were reminded that they have a Heavenly Father who loves them so, so much. God, and that he has blessed them with the children that they have, with the family that they have. God, I pray today that if they would have been on the brink of just giving up, that they wouldn't, because they matter so much. They have been given the care of your children. God, so I pray that they would remember how desperately they wanted them, and that today they would hit the ground with their knees and go to you in prayer and say, God, keep giving me the strength and the guidance and the wisdom and the courage and the boldness to keep pressing on so that I can raise my kids to love you, so that I can dedicate them to you, so that they can begin a relationship with you. God, I pray for their kids. I pray for their attitudes and their actions. I pray, God, that you would soften hearts and minds to the love that not only their moms have for them, but my prayer is that through their mom's sacrificial love, that they would see the love of the Heavenly Father shine right through them. And in that, be pointed into a relationship with you. But I pray for our families. I pray for our mothers. Continue to help us and to guide us and to strengthen us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.